2 SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to So Hot Right Now. My name is Sophie Lai. I'll be taking you through all the way to midday right here on 2SER as we chat the best in arts and culture in Sydney right here on this show. We have a fantastic show lined up for you today. Tali Alatia will be joining us for Gaggle of Geeks while Blake is on a paternity leave. He's about to have a little baby boy. So Tali is stepping in and we're going to be chatting Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as what has Skyo done this time. Also, the Ensemble Offspring are doing an open mic night called Hatched, and we're going to be chatting with a couple of people behind that. And at First Draft Gallery, there's a brand new exhibition that's coming out. We'll be chatting to a few of the artists this morning. The exhibition is called Any Similarity to Any Person Living or Dead is Merely Coincidental. Is that a long title? I don't think so. Could be longer. But we are chatting to them. This is So Hot Right Now. I'm going to jump into the music before I get there. Here's a tune from Tops. This one's called Circle the Dark.
Wine and Art Revolution is back.
Celebrate all things French at Sydney's French Festival in Circular Quay in the Rocks from Thursday, July 12 to Sunday, July 15. Check out over 100 food specialities, the Cheese Dome, open-air cinema, French wine bars, live performances, or our traditional French Christmas market in the Rocks. See the full program at bastillefestival.com.au. Entry is free. 2SER is a media partner of Bastille Festival Sydney.
Nicholas Ulbrich there with 100Ks round Carmel. On top of that, you also heard from Tops with Circle the Dark. You're here on It's So Hot Right Now with me, Sophie Lai. Now, it's time for your pop culture fix.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks on 2SER.
Good morning, Tali Aletea.
Hey, Sophie.
Welcome to again to Gaggle of Geeks.
Thank you for having me again.
Not a problem, because today Blake is in literally delivery ward.
Oh my goodness. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. I barely was able to get myself up and dressed. Imagine having to do that to a baby.
Oh my God. No. Terrified. But this is the segment where we chat about all things good and geeky as well as pop culture. And a few things have been happening this week. Should we start with the negative or the positive?
I think it's always let's go with the positive.
Okay.
And then we'll just really end this on a high.
Yeah.
Ranty, angry high.
Let's do this. So Ant-Man and the Wasp came out this week. Which means finally we get to see Ant-Man again because he was benched during Infinity War. Bit of a shame. But last we saw him was in Civil War helping up Captain America.
Are you a big Ant-Man fan?
Like comics-wise, he was a bit of a weird problematic character. Bit of a wife beater.
Oh, okay.
He's a bit weird. But they've gone to the second iteration, which is played by Paul Rudd in the films with Scott Lang. And I did enjoy the first movie. I mean, there was a lot of issues with production because they had Edgar Wright and they didn't have Edgar Wright.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And so, yeah, so Peyton Reed took over and now he's continuing. He's also directing this one. I enjoyed it, but I found actually this sequel a lot more fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Like is it comedy funny or is it just...
Yeah, it just was funny and they were just kind of, everyone just seemed to be having a really good time and you were going along for the ride. So,
but is it still like good guy versus bad guy tries to save the world kind of thing or?
Well, in a way, yes. So basically the premise of the second film, Scott, he's on house arrest after the events of Civil War because he got caught. So they were like, so you can come back with us quietly and we'll give you house arrest for 2 years or we can like, you know, throw you in jail for the rest of your life.
Oh, what a tough decision. What did he choose? Gosh.
Oh, can't imagine. So, of course, he chooses house arrest. He's about 3 days left when his former partners, Hank Pym and his daughter, Hope Van Dyne, they're playing around with quantum physics again, which then sparks the events of the film where he gets some visions back when he was in the quantum realm.
What would superhero movies be without science? Like, could you imagine?
Questionable
science. But I mean, like Spider-Man, if no one was ever playing around with radioactive spiders, that doesn't happen.
You just be stuck with Superman and Batman.
Yeah, you have to kind of be born into it.
Born into it or trained into it.
Yeah, because I mean, Iron Man, that's a lot of technology and science.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
He's a science man.
Maybe it's just Superman.
Yeah.
No pressure.
God, that'd be
boring. Save the world. Okay.
I just find him one of the most boring characters. It's just like, I'm Superman. I have power. I do good things. Yes.
I put on glasses, then no one recognizes
me. I know. That is his major superpower. Like, how can you not? It's like, I'm wearing glasses. And it's like, how can you not recognize me without them?
It's a different place. So back to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. So this time the villain, it's a bit more ambiguous. It is Ghost, who is, they've actually made her a female.
Oh.
The comics. She was a man back in her actual comic book days. And she has the power to phase through objects after her father's, who also worked in quantum physics. His experiment went very, very, very wrong. Science.
And doing experiments involving your children?
Well,
probably.
It was more his scientific, like, he was doing science. This is how scientific I am. He does science.
Don't need to go into detail. That's enough.
Yeah, he does science. Science went wrong. He told everyone to run. His daughter didn't run fast enough.
So instead of doing science, he should have been taking her to the gym, making her run track.
Well, to be fair, she ran back to be with him because she thought he would die.
Oh, okay. That's a nicer story.
Yeah,
it sounds,
is.
It's like a bit more complex.
Yeah, she's more of a complex character. So it wasn't just like, this is super, super bad person. I am bad, which is what I actually really enjoyed about it. And it didn't have too many ties to the greater Marvel universe where things get very, very complicated. Okay. Like, if you watched Infinity War and you had never seen any of the other Marvel movies, good luck to you. Like, seriously, good luck to you, because you would not know a single thing that's happening.
Because it is so...
It is so intrinsically tied to all those other movies. Well, this one was just like, if you watched the first film, that would have been fine, because it was good an origin story. Good background. But the opening scene with this is just adorable. One of the best parts of this movie is his relationship with his daughter, Cassie. And, like, the first thing you see is he's, like, made like a cardboard fort of what it'd be like to be an ant, and he and his daughter are on they're just like, you know, tunneling through, like, trying to get treasure, and then in the end he's made a slide out of cardboard down the stairs as the finale, because he doesn't know what else to, like, entertain a 10-year-old while he's on house arrest. So he builds a cardboard maze pretending to be the Avengers of Ant-Man and his daughter.
Oh,
and they're just really...
That actually sounds really adorable.
It is really great moments like that in the film. And yeah, it's funny. Like, you see the return of Michael Peña as his wisecracking friend Luis. Unfortunately, he didn't have as much space to improvise in this film, so he says. And you can kind of feel it, because in the first film there were some great moments where he kind of reminisces and just gets sidetracked on like 10 different tangents. And this only happened once in this film, so if you're going for that... It only happens
You're
once.
You're going to be disappointed.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly returns as Hope, and she's amazing. Michael Douglas plays grumpy old man. Does very well.
It's kind of his niche thing, isn't it?
It is. Now? It is.
He does it so well. You don't really need anyone else.
But this film also has Lawrence Fishburne in there, who's introduced as another scientist.
Don't write him off yet.
No, but he was more of a human character, which is what I really liked about him. He had, like, no allegiance to good or bad. He was just... kind of the human heart in this film.
Because that's a common thing in superhero movies. They don't have a lot of human friends or a lot of human interactions that much, I feel.
They'll save the people.
Yeah, but then they don't actually converse with the people or talk to the people. They've got this, like, deep loyalty to the people.
Yeah.
And then they just, okay, you're there.
Cool.
Thank you.
That's nice. You're alive. All right. Bye.
I'll blow up this car. I'll do this. It's fine.
Yeah. So he comes in, and they're also introducing in this Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh.
As the original Wasp, Hank Pym's wife, Janet Van Dyne. So, yeah.
Wow. So The Pfeiffer is back.
Pfeiffer.
So what would you rate it?
Look, I found it really fun. The editing, like, some of the action scenes, like, some of the best parts of Ant-Man 1 was, like, how they kind of moved through the shifting sizes, like super big to super small. This one, it still has that, but I feel like the editing suite, they kind of just cut some scenes in half. It's like, you don't need that. So it didn't transition as smoothly, so it was a little choppy. But overall, I thought it was just a really fun action film. It didn't have not too many overlying ties with the other films. And as a standalone, like, it was kind of breath of fresh air, really. So I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10.
Excellent. Yeah. And as someone like me who doesn't live in that world as much as you would, would someone like me enjoy it too?
Yeah, it's just Paul Rudd doing wisecracks and that, you know, as a vampire. He's a great funny vampire. He doesn't age. He's like Keanu Reeves.
Paul Rudd, I know. If you do him, like, side by side of him when he was in Clueless, he has not changed. What is going on? That's some good science going on right there.
I know, right? Mm. Such good science. So that's the good news.
The bad news.
Shall we do it?
Yeah. Is Scarlett Johansson. Johansson. I always feel like when I'm being fancy, I say Johansson, but
it might
be Johansson.
Well, after the whole Lucy Zelick thing, we should be trying to say people's names proper.
Exactly. Well, I was about to say, I'm sorry, Scarlett, if I've got it wrong, but I don't think I should be apologising to Scarlett. No. So you'll remember that Scarlett was in Ghost in the Shell, which was the Japanese manga movie remake, and it was questioned as to why she was playing the lead character when she was not Asian. And
For a lot of Asian people who rarely see Asians on screen, it was like, again?
Quite a lot of furor, especially when you consider there are a lot of Asian actresses in Hollywood. It's not as if there are none and they've gone, oh, we need Scarlett. And Scarlett's gone, I understand, because there are no one.
There is no one, or they just need my star power. It's just like...
Yeah, get it. Get it going, Scarlett. So that happened and you've gone, oh, maybe she didn't know, but now she does. Like, tone deaf once... Shame on Shame on you, but now you know, let's grow, let's be a better person. Do you think Scarlett has learnt? No, she has not.
I would hope so, because I really want to see her in a Black Widow movie.
Well, if talking about Scarlett is raising her profile, so that might happen, maybe this is the reason why. So she is going to be in a real-life drama about Dante Tex Gill, who is a trans man.
Yep.
And the movie's called Rub and Tug.
Right.
So you might hear the problem there is that she is going to be playing a trans man. And
as a cis woman.
As exactly a cis woman. So it is literally history repeating itself again. And Scarlett has not learnt. I think it's the same director who did Ghost in the Shell. So it's they've like partnered up to be like, what group can we offend now?
Oh.
So it's gone, yep, Asians, tick, trans, tick. And understandably, a lot of trans actors have come out to be, this is not fair. This is, you again have trans actors that you can choose from and you are not choosing to do it. And they were like, we wouldn't have a problem, but we're not in the room where when you're casting cis actors to do these, you don't consider us. It's not like a two-way street right now. It's just Scarlett straight and she just plays whoever she wants to. And then tries
magical Asian, magical trans.
And like, she's a good actor, but she's not that good, like in the terms of her being able to do it. So I think that Scarlett has totally overstepped a lot of boundaries. She wrote a really terrible statement.
So tone deaf.
Didn't address it. It was just like, well, talk to Jared Leto. And she literally just quoted a whole lot of actors who did something similar.
So, yeah, she did Jared Leto, where this conversation really started because, you know, he's like, look, I'm trying to raise your profile.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, gee, no, thanks.
But, not needed.
And Felicity Huffman, she did Trans America back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. But it's just like.
But then also she did. Said Jeffrey Tambor. I mean, yeah, Emmy Award winning or Golden Globe winning Jeffrey Tambor, who's been like accused of harassment and like
and verbal assault. And that was the thing. It was so dismissive. Rather than saying, oh no, I've done this again and I care and I do something, she's just gone, oh, well, if you've got a problem with me, you've got a problem with all those too. Like it's not bad if I do it because other people are doing it too. I'm going, yeah, it's still bad though. And the fact that you've done it twice, double bad.
So, it is such a white person thing to say. White person who has power and profile. And
so. Yeah, exactly. So, for that reason, Scarlett, no. No, Scarlett, no. Scar-no.
Well, Tali, thank you so much for joining us here on Gaggle of Geeks. We'll see you next week for more gaggling.
Thanks, Sophie.
Till then, bye. Thanks, Tali. You can catch us on the podcast. Just look up 2SER's Gaggle of Geeks and you'll find us on all good podcasting platforms. Also, need to say, we have found out, even though just like, you know, 10 minutes prior, we didn't know, but now 10 minutes forward, Blake's baby boy is called Keaton after Michael Keaton. So, of course, big congratulations to Blake Howard and his lovely wife, Sam. You have a beautiful baby boy. Can't wait to meet little Keaton. Coming up next, we are chatting about an installation that uses multiple modes of viewing and creating content to render the body as trivial, hyperreal, and under constant surveillance. Coming up next, we're going to be hearing about First Draft's latest exhibition, Any Similarity to Any Person Living or Dead is Merely Coincidental. Here's a tune now from Exy. This one's called Lovings.
A girl once woke up in her sleep, then found herself invisible. In the streets she drove every single night, all turned into a soundbite. She wished herself into someone else, now she can be any self. Her friends were waiting forever and ever for someone so clever. You were never there when you should have been. You can never see what was right in front. If you leave it to me, I will see you around. See you again, well, I doubt that now. You were never there when you should have been. You can never see what was right in front. If you leave it to me, I will. again. Well, I doubt that now. The girl and me, we read a book about numerology. She feels that something far away is holding her back again. In the mirror of yourself, make a wish for your new self. She told me in an old dream that she'd even treat me. You were never there when you should have been. You can never see what was right in front. If you leave it to me, see what was right in front. If you leave it to me, I'll see you around. See you again. Well, I doubt that now. 40 days down the way, I saw her singing a sad song. She noticed me in the second verse, and she gave it to me slowly. And said to me, when life is changing, estrange yourself from life, it's the same thing.
Need some weekend inspiration or a midweek treat? We've got you covered with our new What's On page. Everything from galleries to gigs, classes to comedy, and festivals to free events. Head to 2SER.com/whatson for more info. 2SER, stories, ideas, music.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now with me, Sophie, your weekly dose of art and culture. Any similarity to any person living or dead is merely coincidental delves deeply into the history of online platforms, featuring the work of five different artists, including Dominic Byrne, Layla El Reyes, Hanna Hugadur, Christina Savage, and Matthew Vernet. Audiences are presented with an eclectic mix of media, creating a culmination of shared, consumed, and constructed worlds. This morning, we're joined by one of the artists behind the installation, Christina Savage. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Very good. Must be quite exciting having such a big installation finally up and running.
Yeah. It's great. I think we're all really happy that it's up.
So it's a collaboration between yourself and four other artists. How did the collaboration come about?
So a couple of years ago, we met volunteering at First Draft. And since then, we've all kind of had our separate shows and kind of just been growing as artists. And I thought it'd be a really nice idea to kind of get everyone together. And the idea at the beginning was just to have a normal group show and have everyone contribute a piece of their work. And our works are quite different, but we all kind of use similar mediums. And yeah, I just thought it'd be a really, really interesting group show. But as soon as we got together, we had a bit of food, a bit of wine, and we just started talking about these great ideas.
Where all great ideas start.
Exactly. And it kind of just started to unfold as this huge group project that I don't think anyone saw coming.
Excellent. And so what kind of mediums did you have, that was similar in your practices?
So a lot of us do performance work and document it or have it exhibited with video. And some use sculptural elements as well. I personally only do video, but it all kind of came together.
So you're known for your DIY approach to video production by way of experimentation with visual programming software. Did you kind of use this aspect in this exhibition?
No. That's most of some of my other works, not most of them, but some.
Yep.
I use like live edit.
Right.
Whereas this was just a video that played.
Yeah. And what was the video in this one that we're kind of exploring? if you can describe it.
Yeah. We looked at like online platforms and how video is being shared online now as like kind of inspiration. And we just really wanted to experiment with the medium and see what we could come up with. So it kind of references like daily vloggers and like meme culture. In the sense that every part of the video is super dramatized. Some is completely unrealistic. Like there's a scene where our friend Dom is being birthed out of a horse in a barn. And
how was that filming at?
It wasn't a real horse.
No animals were harmed.
No. But yeah, and then there's like this huge scene where we all play this lady. We all kind of, we have the same wig, the same glasses, same outfit, and we're all being filmed from all different angles, and we all take turns wearing this outfit and being filmed. And that was kind of, you know, paying homage, or not homage, but kind of just referencing vloggers just being followed around, and just like everyday people blowing up for no reason in particular.
Yeah.
It's how the everyday could be so interesting. So yeah, a little bit of all those things put together.
So the way the installation is set up, is it just all video installations near each other, or does the sculptural aspects come in from the other disciplines of the other artist as well?
So we all collaborated with everything. So when you walk into the space, the actual gallery has been replaced almost with a marquee that we built, or that we bought online and kind of had to set up. That I think it's like 30 centimeters away from the wall on all sides. So you walk in and automatically you're kind of removed from the gallery space. And then there's three sculptures, and once you walk in, that you pass three sculptures, and then there's a video installation of four screens that are all together, and they all play the one video across them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's quite an experience.
It does sound quite like, you know, you're kind of surrounded by these screens in a way.
Yeah.
What kind of theme were you kind of trying to, or what were you trying to kind of get audiences to feel with all these screens surrounding them in that way?
We just wanted them to be like completely immersed by the video and the sound as well. And we wanted them to feel like they weren't just in a gallery, which I think kind of backfired on us while we were installing, because I think we all started going a bit insane in that room. It's just, yeah, insane. But yeah, and with the room sheets, we printed them, I think, A1 size.
Mm.
And they're just supposed to be like A4 standard. But we wanted to incorporate that into the show as well. So kind of using all the elements that the gallery already provides us and kind of trying to put that into the work as well.
Yeah. In the exhibition, you also introduced these voyeuristic characters. Can you talk us through those?
Yeah, so they're the that's the lady that we all play. Yeah, so it's just kind of following her doing. It was supposed to be like you know when you watch like I don't know like any kind of morning show and they're doing like they're interviewing someone or someone that used to be famous a long time ago, and they're filming them gardening or like just doing little things and putting that like as an overlay. We kind of wanted to make something similar to that, but this lady was in this bizarre space kind of putting lipstick on a Cupid doll and squashing bananas with her heels.
Sounds like a very interesting lady we all should like to know.
Yeah, for sure.
There's also that overarching theme of surveillance. Can you talk us through that?
So the surveillance aspect of it, it just came through us kind of recording each other as much as we could and kind of trying to make the video almost unsettling to watch. I don't know, I guess we didn't really want to talk about surveillance too politically. It was more of just an aesthetic and a kind of fun thing to explore. It was fun to record, but we kind of wanted to add a little light kind of approach to it.
When you think of surveillance, you think, oh my God, CCTV, everyone's watching.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're on your phone videoing yourself all the
time.
That's
it, exactly. We're doing it to ourselves all the time. Mm. And a lot of the time it's in jest, it's in humor, it's to share, it's funny.
Awesome. And you also use like some stylistic tropes, including high school drama, true crime TV, and more. How did you kind of bring those bits in? Guessing the high school drama was when you acted like the little old woman.
Yeah. There was a couple of scenes in the barn where we'd set up. So Hannah's partner has this barn in their backyard, and we used that as like a stage.
Oh,
we
wow.
lit it up. We had this fake horse kind of trotting around, and we all kind of in the space. We're acting out as though we were part of some play, but it wasn't like there was no narrative to it. It was quite like taken out of context completely and thrown into this other video that was completely wild. But we really liked the aesthetic of high school dramas, of high school plays. But we were kind of wearing...
So we were all dressed in black and then you were like, scene.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. We actually were all dressed in black.
Oh,
too.
Yes.
It's a common trope. We had to do it.
What about the true crime aspects?
Oh, my God.
Was it death in a barn?
Well, the horse died in the barn. But I think it was just... you know, when you watch those like shows, they're always like dun dun and like,
yeah.
So it's just that kind of feeling we wanted to take and use in our video.
Excellent. And what do you want audiences to take away when they go to the installation?
We just want them to experience it however they do. We've had a couple of people come up to us and like just kind of talk us through their experience, and it's always been quite different, which is I think really interesting. And people always find different things that they like the most.
Yeah. What have their reactions been?
One guy said that he really liked being in a tent and not seeing the fluorescent lights of the gallery, not being overwhelmed by that common space. Some people thought the room sheets were a bit obnoxious, which is fair. I mean, totally. But yeah, lots of people just said they liked the video.
Excellent.
Like the different effects and stuff like that.
Brilliant. Well, Christina, thank you so much for joining us here today. We can't wait to see the exhibition in full.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. That there was Christina Savage, one of the artists behind First Draft's latest exhibition, Any Similarity to Any Person Living or Dead is Merely Coincidental. Head to First Draft to check it out from now until the 27th of July. And best of all, it's for free. We'll put all those details up on 2ser.com. Going to jump back into the music now. Here's a bit of Archie Bronson Outfit with In White Relief.
Shook it up. After a long 6-year wait, Regina Spektor finally returns to our shores for one show only at Sydney Opera House this July.
I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground.
For this very special solo performance in The Round, Regina performs songs from across her entire career.
On the radio, uh-oh.
Book now for Regina Spektor on July 9 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
My ass is made of velvet and my hips are made of stone. And if you really love me, you will leave me alone. I want to go dancing. Sleep under the Christmas tree. I wanna go dancing.
Would $10,000 help you get your local project up and running? The City of Sydney's community, environmental, cultural and business grants are open now. Grants support projects that involve genuine community participation and assist residents, workers and visitors in the City of Sydney area. Grants close 5pm Monday, July 23. Visit cityofsydney.nsw.gov.au/grants. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with me, Sophie. For one night only, the theme of blurred lines in a musical authorship will be explored by Ensemble Offspring's Hatched Academy for their open mic night. This state-of-the-art outlet aims to shine a brighter spotlight on our musical world while striving to create further opportunities for young local musicians. We're joined in studio with two of tonight's open mic artist, Sunny Frank, from the crazy impromptu group Ensemble, and show prince Henry Liang, who uses Japanese tradition to create a contemporary performance. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Hi.
Not a problem. So what drew you both to kind of perform at this event tonight?
Well, Ensemble Offspring have been really generous with their time and their talent to put on this program for emerging artists to be part of, to sort of showcase new and contemporary sounds that, and also bring people together in collaborations that they may not have sought themselves previously. So basically I applied to play at the gig and now I'm here.
Excellent. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, it's just nice to have an opportunity to perform new and experimental music in a risk-free sort of supported setting. And Ensemble Offspring, as Henry said, has been so generous in providing this opportunity, giving us the sort of airtime we really loved to perform and showcase some really weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, what kind of weird stuff we'll be expecting tonight then?
I mean, my group, we're called Ensemble. We play a lot of improvised music and we've come up with a number of sort of text scores and instructional pieces to perform tonight. And they often use things that aren't just our instruments. So we're playing a piece with these circuit bent smoke alarms that I've created and devised.
Smoke alarms. Okay.
Yeah. And
that
then we're
sounds
also
like it's gonna be very high pitched.
Yeah, but you can be surprisingly expressive with them. Then we're also doing a piece from actually the 1960s with stones.
Oh, okay.
So and then there's a number of pieces with our instruments as well. So we're sort of going all over the place really.
So are you all performing separately? Are you performing together collaboratively or how does it work?
We've actually got three shows back-to-back tonight.
Excellent.
So, so we're performing one after another in different rooms at 107 Projects in Redfern. And the for my show, the weird slash unique thing about it is that I'll be playing on an instrument called the sho. It's a Japanese instrument from the 7th century. It has 17 slender bamboo pipes bundled together with a reed on the bottom of each one. And a few strange things about it. One is that you have to heat it up beforehand with a heater so the reeds are warm and before you can play it. And it sounds... I can't really even describe the sound, so I guess you have to come along and
check it out. So what happens if you play it cold?
The sound is not as congealed with... because it's used for multiple pitches at the same time, usually, so cluster chords. So if the pitching of each of the reed is not quite right, it'll sound a bit messy.
Fair enough. You're also in a musical partnership with flute player Naomi Johnson, as well as working with visual artist Todd Fuller. How do they come into the performance?
So I've known Naomi for a few years now, and it was actually Ensemble Offspring's idea to bring us together. We both actually applied for our solo project for this, and they thought that it would be a good idea to bring elements of our own solo set into a collaborative set, and it's been great working with Naomi and working up this concert. And Todd, I've worked with Todd previously, and I just gave him a call and thought he would be a great addition to tonight's gig.
Yeah. Excellent. And so, how does your performance tonight kind of come into the theme of blurred lines?
I think the variety of timbre we'll create tonight with I think we've got 14 different players altogether.
Yeah.
In our set specifically, we try to sort of blur the lines of when one sound turns into another sound. So just a bit non-specific. Non-specific sounds into this sort of overarching, big, immersive soundscape.
Excellent. Now, I love that tonight they called it an open mic, so I was like, expecting everyone can come up on stage. but you can't. But what do you kind of want audiences to take away from tonight's performance?
Well, I think it'd be great, not necessarily taking away from it, but going in with a really open mind. Because we're playing new experimental music that hasn't been performed before a lot of the time, it'd be great for people to just go in there, accept it, and then maybe they'll come out with some sort of new enhanced experience that they haven't had before. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we're aiming for, some sort of, just an unusual experience that is not what they've had before, but maybe something they will like.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, and we can't wait to hear it all unfold tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Not a problem. That there was from Ensemble Offspring's Solly Frank and Henry Liang, who are performing at Open Mic tonight at 107 Projects in Redfern. The Open Mic starts at 5 p.m, so there are a few tickets left, so we'll put all those details up on 2SCR.com. Here's a tune now from Phosphorescent. Oh my God, I really can't say it. It's south of America.
This is another old song. It's off that same record from a while back. It's called South of America. There's dogs calling awfully out here. There's cows with their mouths filled with tears. And there's black water curling all around where we lay. And I have been gone now for too many days. And
She would harness my heart if it harnessed that way. So babe, I am going, I'm going away. The women there are gorgeous down here. They're long and they're brown, and to me they look like long brown gorgeous deer. And she's always arriving, and sometimes she's not wearing a shirt. She winds her hopes through the valley, she bends my bones into dirt. She has poems I had tossed under blankets of sand. And babe, I am sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am.
Would $10,000 help you get your local project up and running? The City of Sydney's community, environmental, cultural and business grants are open now. Grants support projects that involve genuine community participation and assist residents, workers and visitors in the City of Sydney area. Grants close 5pm Monday, July 23. Visit cityofsydney.nsw.gov.au/grants. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
All right.
Follow me.
Hey, you're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Just then, you heard from the Mark Lanegan Band with Sad Lover, the Mikey Young remix. And on top of that, you heard from, hopefully I can say it this time because I'm really tongue-tied for some reason, Phosphorescent. Yes! Which is with the tune South of America, the live version. You are listening to 2SCR 107.3, home of stories, ideas, and music. It is 1 minute to 12, so it means my time here is just about up. Big thanks to all our guests today. Christina Savage, you can see any similarity to any person living or dead is merely coincidental at First Draft Gallery now, all the way to the end of the month. Also to Sully Frank and Henry Liang, two musos who you can catch tonight at Ensemble Offspring's Hatched Open Mic Night at 107 Projects in Redfern. Also, big thanks to Tali Aulatia, who was on Gaggle of Geeks today as we spoke about Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as Scar-Jo? Scar-No? Who knows? Probably Scar-No. Also, big congratulations to Blake Howard, who is now the proud father of a baby boy named Keaton. Of course you named it Keaton. Of course. But my name is Sophie. You can catch all those stories online at 2ser.com. I'll see you next week.